Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, January 25th, 2021, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday, or Tuesday through Sunday, depending on when you're hearing this show. Did you know that you can check out Foxology anytime, anywhere, 24/7? Yes, you can. Just come on over to my place at blogtalkradio.com/Foxology, and you'll find me and a lot of wonderful people talking about a lot of wonderful stuff. Yes, I've had many, many visitors come by, drop off some marvelous things, some golden nuggets of information, some pearls of wisdom, some choice words of encouragement, and some of the finest collections of inspiration and motivation you can find anywhere. Yeah, I'm bragging about it. All here for your picking and choosing. All you have to do is listen in. The takeaways are there all for you, just for you. You can get an earful here. And, you know, you just might get a head full and a heart full, too, of the most excellent quality information that you have ever heard. Oh, boy, I'm boasting, huh? Well, I can, because it's just been like that around here. But anyway, that brings us to today, and here we are again with some helpful and hopeful suggestions for you, especially those of you who are going through that time of stress and desperation that can come along with being jobless. For sure, it feels awful. It just ain't pretty in so many cases. I know because I've been there. It can be very uncomfortable and very disturbing to not know what to do until you know what to do. It's a great challenge, and it's especially great when you have no idea when or from where your next paycheck will come. Folks, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. My special guest today has been a coach and mentor to many as they made that transition from those hard places. Jeff Percival is an author, trainer, and motivational speaker, and today he's going to share some of the ideas and suggestions that he's imparted to those crossing the bridge over to their next job and career assignments. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Silver. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm awesome, sir. You?
Oh, that's the same on this side. We have to be.
Yeah. How have you and your family been holding it down through all of this craziness?
Well, just life has gotten a little more boring, but because we're inside the house as much as we normally are. But other than that, I mean, I'm still reading and writing and talking to people on the phone. So a lot of Zoom meetings.
Well, that's a good thing. There's some of us that can stay busy using all of this technology, and that is a good thing. And that's something that we'll mention, too, as we go along through the conversation. But as I said, the unemployment thing is a tough place. It's a hard place. It's, you just kind of, your head spinning and you're stressed out and just not sure what you're going to do. And I know you've dealt with many, many, many people in your trainings and in your classes just to help them see some light at the end of the tunnel and prepare for their next. So since there are many, in that situation, turmoil, that's what this show is focused on. Let's get you started. I mean, you've written the books. You've talked to the people more than any of us probably who are listening. So let's just get you right in the mainstream of it all. Give us some pointers on those looking for a way out, those people that are all stressed out right now. What are some of the things that you say or suggest?
Well, just so people know, I've been working with job seekers, been volunteering with job seekers for about 35 years, and started speaking to them, and then I started running job networking groups for about 20 years. But it's interesting. One of the things that's the most difficult for job seekers is because all the stress, I mean, all this weight is on your shoulders, and somehow you have to get beyond the stress. And there's all kinds of things that I recommend, you know, just even going for daily walks, going for a walk after every meal, just to clear your head. Many people recommend, you know, walking out in nature because, again, you're getting away from, you know, the everydayness of where we live. So try to get a walk out into nature. It's quieter. It's more peaceful. And when you're doing this, breathe in. Because when you're stressed, you tend to stop breathing. You tend to hold your breath and hold that tension inside of you. In fact, I recommend, you know, Google breath meditations, you know, where you learn to just control your breath. And when you can control your breath, you can begin to control your attitude. So, you know, get some exercise. If you belong to a club or if you have access to a bicycle machine, which is what I use, ride that, but somehow you have to get that stress off, and that's the physical stress. Then we have to start talking about the mental stress, and that's what helps with the breath meditation.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to add to that because, you know, everybody is not an enthusiast about exercise, and when you're feeling stressed, the last thing you may be thinking about is trying to come up with a slot to go outside and do anything or even inside. But I agree with you totally. I'm just throwing in an aside in there. Even if you can just go outside and just try to release it, even if you have to scream into the air or, jump up and down or do whatever you need to do, some cartwheels or whatever, just to get some of the negative energy released. I suggest that. I mean, it sounds crazy, but here's the thing with that, people who are listening. It's the easy part of getting through. That's the easiest. That's something that's easy for you to do. And until you attempt it, you probably have no idea how much better you can feel. Will you feel completely well and wonderful after, you know, a time of, you know, taking 10 minutes outside screaming? You might, but, you know, it's a process. But if you are not the exercise enthusiast, at least, walk outside your house, go in your backyard, find somewhere that you can spend a few minutes just to release some of the negative stress. And if you are an exercise enthusiast, you already know what we're talking about. You know what a difference it can make. It's been rainy here in Dallas for about a week now, and today's the first sunny day, and I can hardly wait to get off this show with Jeff because I'm heading straight out there to walk a couple of miles. So it really does matter. My body knows I haven't been out there in that cold, wet weather for about a week. So yeah, go on.
And I agree. I mean, you don't have to belong to a gym. You don't have to do anything. Just be outside. And one of my favorite spots is, you know, I live in North Carolina right now, and there's a little stream at the Arboretum, and I can just walk over by the stream, and there's a bench there. I just sit there for 20 minutes and just listen and just be quiet, and that just helps relieve so much of the stress of the daily for daily living, much less if you're in job search mode.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
And when you're in job search mode, you don't have a lot of money, so you can find, there's lots of, that's why I said find a bicycle or just walk, just be outside.
Yeah, you know, you got to look for stuff that's free, that's for sure. And we'll, you know, I've got that jotted down too, so we will definitely get to some of these bullets that I have written down as well. But you're the one that's got the books out. You know, you've got the job survival kit and combination to success. So you've got lots of golden nuggets yourself that I think you can share with people. I guess my most encouraging word would be to realize that you are on one side of an issue, that doesn't have to become a problem or a failure. And shows like this are designed to help you begin to see how to take steps across that bridge until you can get things back the way they were or like you want them to be. So that's the encouragement that I would like to share. So, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and take it from here and tell us some of your points.
Well, one of the first things, when I'm talking with job seekers is ask them, well, what are you looking for? And I can't tell you, more than 50% say, I'm not sure, I don't know. Well, that begins the issue right then, because if you don't know what you want, you don't know where to begin, you don't know which way to look. So what I suggest is doing some exercises. Look at all the jobs you've had in the past. And, Benjamin Franklin had a great suggestion. He talks about the Franklin T. On one side put the positives and one side put the negatives. Well, I adjust that a little bit. On one side, put a positive, and then all the positive things that you enjoyed working-wise on one side, and all the things you hated, you just disliked doing on the other side. So you can begin seeing, where do you want to be putting your focus? Where do you want your energy to go towards? The positive, of course. So you can begin thinking about the jobs that would incorporate those activities that you love to do and that you're good at. And number one, that's going to help you sell yourself into that position. So write out, I am successfully employed. And the first time you write those words, you're going to say to yourself, oh, geez, who am I kidding? I'm not successful. I've been unemployed now for 3 months. Maybe it could be a year or 2 years. You have to begin listening to what you're saying to yourself whenever you write that out. Now, write that out at the top of the sheet, then start describing what is that successful employment. What does it look like to you? What will you be doing? What talents will you be using? What will your workspace look like? What will your work day look like? So that you begin creating a clear picture in your mind as to what you're going to be doing. And the clearer that picture is in writing and in your mind, the more magnetic you become. People don't realize, but your brain is an electrochemical battery. And in Boy Scouts, we used to do this little exercise of, you'd bend two nails and then you'd wrap copper wire around it, and then you'd attach one piece of the copper wire to the top end of the battery and another at the other end of the battery, and all of a sudden, what did you have? You had a magnet. Well, you can be magnetic when you clear your mind and you focus your mind as to what successful employment means to you. So take the time, and a lot of it's a process. It's not, as like you said before, one time isn't going to, may not make that big of a difference. But the more you do it, the more you're going to find a little more peacefulness in yourself. And then you're going to say, oh, son of a gun, I forgot, I like doing this. Or, oh, geez, you can look at it and read, do I really want to do that? No, I'm tired of doing that. Okay, then you can scratch that off. It's your description of successful employment. The thing is, you want to get that clear. You want to get that clear in your mind and your heart. That's the two pieces of the battery that I was talking about. The clearer that is, the more magnetic you become. And all of a sudden, you're going to find, oh, wow, I really do want to see this. And then when you're, what is the term? I think it's the Zimkarnik effect. You put something out there, you see it, you buy a new car, and all of a sudden you start seeing more cars like you. You put your successful employment out there, and all of a sudden you're going to see ads for that. Or all of a sudden you're going to meet people say, oh, some of them, I think I know something. I think I know about a job that you might be good at. That magnetism just begins working for you.
It's true.
And so I give out a challenge here. The challenge is for 30 days, write out on a piece of paper 20 times, I am successfully employed. I am successfully employed. Rewrite it. And after you write it each time, think in your mind, all right, listen to what you're thinking to yourself. And when you get to the point, when you say, darn right I am, you're going to begin to see things magically begin to happen for you.
it will seem like magic. And I want to say, you know, I'm always listening in my head for the responses that people may have for when they hear something like that, like, oh, God, sit down and write that down 20 times. Yeah, but what are you doing? You know, anyway, it makes sense to sit down and write that down. It's not going to take that long, and it's a good emphasis for rewriting the script that may be going on in your head, because if you're saying things like, I just can't catch a break, things just are not going right, I can't find a job for the life of me. Well, you know, what you have just done is a lot of self-sabotage, and you close the doors not just to opportunities, but you close the doors to your mind. Because what Jeff is saying to you is that when you begin to think about being successfully employed, the wheels start turning and you begin to see the probability. You begin to see the possibility in all of that happening. It's opening the door to your thinking about how that's going to manifest. And like he said, it feels like magic. It really can feel like magic. And all of a sudden, the things that you had closed your eyes to because you can't catch a break, because you can't find a job for the life of me, those kinds of things, all of a sudden your eyes open up in a different way, and that's what you want. This is in the midst of all of this craziness that's going on, this negativity, just this hard place and time in our lives with this pandemic and all the things that it caused, it's not the easiest thing to do to flip the script in your life, because this has been a difficult, difficult thing. But if you can, as Jeff has said, challenge yourself, even if it's a slow process, challenge yourself to try to flip the script in your thinking until you can flip the script of what's going on in your life. There's no way anybody that's having a difficult time right now wants to stay in that hard place. And one of the quickest and most assured things you can do is start changing the perspective, how you see and think about it. It's easy to feel sorry for yourself. It's easy to, you know, feel nobody cares about what's happening, or I've gone on 13 job interviews and nothing has happened. Well, that's because that just wasn't your ideal place to be yet. So you got to look at it that
way. And
that
can be a blessing. That can be a blessing. You know, I mean, yes, we may have to do what I call tourniquet jobs to keep the flow of money stopped and have money start coming in. But that can be a stepping stone to something else. So just because you didn't get that one, you know, say thank you. It frees up your time to look at something else. You know, this going back to the challenge of writing it out, you know, 20 times. One time I all of a sudden went to the post office and there was a package, and inside the package were all these sheets of paper with I am successfully employed written out. And so I started going through them, and the gentleman who sent it to me made notations, and he said, this is the day you challenged us. And I went home and I started this. This is the day I filled out this application. This is the day I went for the interview. And then he kept going and went more than 30 days. And then he said, this is when I went for the second interview. And this is when I started work. And then he stopped writing it because he said he was successfully employed. So, I mean, people have used this exercise. I had one gentleman at a workshop. He came, was working with a group called the 40 Plus of Southeastern Wisconsin. And he said, you know, I wrote it out for 44 days. I said, well, why'd you stop at 44? He says, because on the 45th day, I started work. What you're doing is you're feeding yourself. You're feeding your attitude. You're feeding your subconscious mind to what you expect. And exactly what you were saying earlier, we self-sabotage with negative talk. And this is just one way to begin a habit of creating more positive thinking for yourself, more positive self-talk. I have another habit I'd like to challenge people with. I was working with a gentleman who had been unemployed for 3 years, and he said, I just really haven't been sleeping well, you know, the last 6 months, just anxious and nervous about what's going to be happening. And so we, you know, gave them the challenge of, well, plan tomorrow tonight. So before you go to bed, write out what activities you're going to be doing. And it could be reading a good book, reading the want ads, going on Indeed and seeing what's out there, going on the job boards. It can be sending out one resume. It can be sending out one letter of interest. And then at the end of the night, add to your success logs. Look at your plan tomorrow tonight page, and then what did you get done? And start adding those to your success logs. So instead of getting, you know, you go to bed and say, oh, geez, I didn't get that done. Instead, you're writing out the things that you did accomplish. So, you again, it's feeding yourself positivity instead of always looking at the negative. And that which you didn't get done on your plan tomorrow tonight, put it on the next day. There's always reasons. You can always run out of time. You can always get caught up in something that happened for your family that you had to be doing. Don't beat yourself up. And by the way, add to that in your success log, you handled that situation for your family. So that becomes a success rather than an irritation or a distraction in your mind, in your life. So you have to begin looking at things differently. So plan tomorrow tonight and create a success log for yourself.
That's a great idea. A couple of things came to my mind while you were talking that I want to also share and suggest. Another aside, Jeff is the mainstream person here today. I'm just throwing in some asides, but I want to suggest to you, if you're in the job search, a couple of other very easy game changers for you. And I mean serious game changers. And you won't believe how easy it is. When you go to apply for a job, make sure you look like you want a job. I know right now a lot of companies may be okay, businesses may be okay with you dressing down. And there's a way to dress casual without dressing inappropriately for a job search. I always suggest that you try to look pressed and clean. And I don't mean that to be insulting to anybody. I just think you need to have on a shirt or blouse, slacks that just look very, can be stylish, can be casual. If they, you know that they are okay with jeans, that's fine. In the business industry that I work in, we call it business casual look, but look like you are looking for a job and you're interested in being the one that they choose. Let me just say a couple of other things, Jeff, because I know you could hold that thought for me. The other thing is, don't have that demeanor look on your face like, I know I'm not going to get this job. I'm applying, but I know I'm not going to get it. When you go in, say hi. If you know how to greet with a nice smile and good morning, you know, those are the ways to set an impression. I know people are avoiding handshaking right now, but communicate in a way that says that you're optimistic and enthused and that you should be the choice. And here's another one, people. Easy breezy, easy breezy. You probably didn't think of it unless you did it online or something, but when you show up for those job applications, already have written and have a nice format of a cover letter. It doesn't have to be lengthy. You know what they usually have on the top is your address and phone number, you know, the contact information. Just a nice formal type of hello that says, you know, greetings, or to whom it may concern. I'm in the market looking for blah, blah, blah type of job. I'm, you know, enthusiastic worker. I'm on time, and, you know, a couple of bullets. Very interested in an interview. Sincerely, you know, and your name. And hand that in when you hand in the application. That way you're going to get some attention. You're going to get
That's
the
right.
attention. And a lot of employers are going to be very impressed that you took the time to do that. It says something about your professionalism. It says something about your personality. And it says something about the kind of employee you're going to be, all in two or three sentences. Don't make it lengthy. Two or three sentences is enough, and that you're requesting an interview. You'll be surprised how that will feel like it magically works on your behalf. All right. Jeff.
Agreed. I totally agree.
That's
100%. Yeah. And just to jump back to what you were saying about clothing. Now, wear clothing appropriate for the job. Clean. You know, I mean, I have torn blue jeans that I wear to pottery class, but I would not think of wearing those out if I was going to go apply for a factory job. You know, so dress appropriate for the job so that you show them that you're ready to go to work. That's what you want them to see. Now, you mentioned the attitude before walking in about, oh, geez, well, how many of these have I been on? What you need to do is, this is a mental game that I share with job seekers. Before you go into the building, imagine as you're standing out there, all of a sudden, two people open the doors and come out with trumpets. And they go, dun, da, 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 and then they unroll a red carpet. And he said, we've been waiting for you to come today. It may not do anything for them, but it will sure do a lot for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. You know,
do something for them as well.
You tend to, you know, your self-esteem can drop down into your shoes when you're going through a difficult time and you're feeling like you're being rejected. And I don't even like using that word, but, you know, there are people who are more qualified. There are more people who show up better and, you know, communicate better, all of that. You don't have to look at it as rejection in the sense of that, again, you're slapping yourself in the face and putting yourself down. There is a job for you, and you've got to believe that you will become successfully employed. I know that we're talking to a lot of people that have jobs, so this shouldn't be unusual to think about being successfully employed again. You will be. You especially will be if you stay on the beaten path to make it happen. That's just the way it works. So, you know, just stay with it. Don't beat yourself down. Don't feel like it's rejection in the sense of, you know, that, oh, they just didn't like me. They're really not thinking. Most of employers really are not thinking that. They're looking for some skill sets, and they're looking for some personality. They're looking for people that are going to show up to work. So those are the things to really be considering.
Exactly. As we were talking earlier, that there have been some positive things coming out of this pandemic, is people getting more creative. Yes, your job, they may have shut it down for a period of time, but begin thinking, right, well, if they shut this down, what other companies are growing because of the pandemic? What can I do within those companies? So put on your creative thinking cap. And begin looking at your list of positives, and say, you know, we tend to place ourselves in boxes and say, well, this is what I do. Well, instead of saying that, say, well, what can I do with all these talents and abilities? And that's what you're selling to the companies, is you have talents and abilities that can translate into different positions within their company.
Yes. You know, I think this is a good time to mention, too, and I bring this up because I know you have an amazing thing that you do, and that is your art. So I want to bring that up as a segue into side hustles. I think that there are many opportunities when you are, and even when you are employed, to take advantage of things that may be available to you to make money. When you began your pottery and you gifted me something, you know, I did not really know that you did that. I had no idea. And I know that you are consistent with that. And I think people may think of some of the talents and the creativity, as you mentioned earlier, that they have may not be worthy, but you'd be surprised at what can turn into dollars and cents. And that's something everybody needs to think about. You know, what can you do for somebody? Is it, you may not want to do certain things right now, but if you're gifted to do, you can, you know, do those things, which are more fun, of course. But there's also things that, you know, you can do to help people with their lawns. You know, just various things. Maybe you're handy and you can do things to help somebody who may need some work done in their home, cleaning their home. I mean, those are things that don't sound appealing, but when it gets down to buying gas and food, it doesn't sound so bad to do in a temporary situation. And there are agencies who can also help you with those kinds of things. I definitely suggest temp agencies as a possibility. And oftentimes, the wonderful thing about working for a temp agency, you can get hired pretty quick, full time, when they see your dedication and your skill sets within that, you know, within that assignment. But there are all
That's the reason a lot of companies use temporary agencies, is because they want to see how you work before they bring you on full time. Whereas they can interview you and hire you, and all of a sudden you're a full-time employee. And I've seen this because that's the field I work in. I've seen employers say, why did they bring this person on board? I said, well, that's a good question. You know, and so many companies will use temp agencies in order to see and observe your performance on the job before they hire you full-time and make that formal investment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pottery, mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about my art, my pottery, and it's funny, you never know where things happen. I mean, I call it my therapy, because I was a teacher at the time, and it was, again, that was a way for me to reduce my stress. And over the last year, I started making fairy doors for fun, because we went to a fairy garden. I said, oh, I can do that. So I've been giving them away to kids. All of a sudden, one of the neighbors said, hey, can I buy some of those? So you never know what's going to turn into something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And with job seekers, I also recommend volunteering, because many times you're volunteering with people who are working as well. And I've been working with job seekers for over 35 years. I can't tell you the number of stories. Well, where did you hear about this job? Well, I was volunteering at this kitchen, and one of the other people said, hey, you know, we've got a position like that open in our company. You know, so getting yourself out, and I know it's challenging during the pandemic time, but, you know, as long as you do your 6 feet, you wear your mask or two masks, whatever's best for you, you know, and maintain the attitude that you're going to be safe and healthy. Get out there and do what you can. Challenge yourself.
Absolutely. I think of a young woman, and this woman was a senior in high school, and I just thought of this because food is such a popular subject with most of us. But every mm-hmm. night she would make tamales, and she would come to school the next day and sell them for $3 a piece. And if you've made 50 tamales and you're going home with $150, you know, that's
uh-huh.
that's pretty dang good. Or if you bake, you know, or maybe you can make lunches for some work sites. Another interesting thing, and then, again, this is just hustle money. I've seen people buy bottled water. You know, they cost, somewhere between $3 and $5. And then they sell those bottles, for a dollar at work sites
mm-hmm.
on the side of the road. So now you've got 20 more dollars than you spent to buy that water. And I've also seen them do it with candy bars and candy. You know, you can buy it relatively cheap, and then you sell it twice as much. And while that doesn't sound like, you know, it's something you want to do, again, these are suggestions. It's going to hit some people in the right place and some not. But hopefully it may, you know, click for something that is in your realm of, I could do that. But there are ways. I have family members who are often on Facebook and other sites selling stuff, you know, and Facebook, I guess, it just really works. The thing about the ones that are in my family that are most successful, they price it to go. You know, things are $20, mm-hmm. $40, $50, something that, you know, people can easily come up with a few dollars to buy. But, you know, if you're gonna have this space in between where you are and finding a job, it's not a time to wallow. It's a time to do some other kind of work in the meantime. And that will help you, strengthen you. In fact, your side hustle may become your full-time business. You just never know. Oh, it's a good opportunity for that to happen as well.
That's right. I have a neighbor upstairs who was a baker. And so now she's baking cookies and cupcakes and selling them at farmer's markets. You know, and mm-hmm. before she, you know, she was in a job and then she lost the job because restaurants closed down. She had to find alternative ways to, you know, bring in income. I think what we're saying here is put on your creative hat, put on your thinking caps. And you know, I always joke and I say, well, how can I personalize it? Because that's my last name. But it's how can I personalize this? What can I do to make that mine? What can I do to turn that into something for me? And that's what you need to be asking yourself. And I always say, when you do that, have paper and pen in hand. So if you have an idea, write it down so you don't lose it. And that way you don't have to be thinking about it all the time. You can come back to it later and say, oh, now what was I thinking about here? Oh, so you don't have to rethink it. You just have to read it off the page and you can pick up where you left off. So that's one of the powerful things about writing things down.
It definitely makes a difference. It does. I have things that I've written down that my eyes are glancing at all day, every day. And I keep affirming it. Yes, that is going to happen. So be it. Amen. Every kind of affirmation that says it will be so. I make sure as I'm looking at it, I do that, and I get excited. I get excited. I just got excited just now, even thinking about it.
Well, I could hear that in your voice, and that's funny. You brought up a word that I wanted to talk about, and you said affirmations, and that goes back to we all talk to ourselves, and we need to pay attention to how we talk to ourselves and make sure it's positive, and it's moving towards that successful employment that you're desiring. And notice I use the word desire, not just saying wish for or want. Wanting is intellectual. Desiring is emotional. And you want to tie your emotions in, like your voice change because your emotion changed when you're talking about affirmations. That's what you want to happen when you're talking about what you're going to be doing in your next position. You want to get emotionally involved in it, emotionally tied into it, so that it begins to happen for you. And then make yourself talk in such a way that I am successfully employed. Darn right I am.
Yes. Yes. Well, I know you've got a pocket full of success strategies, and you've also got a book called Combination for Success that I think can probably tie right in. Any great pointers from that book you'd like to share?
Well, the combination goes along with you have to have the right attitudes with the right activity at the same time, and I think that's a critical piece. You know, you can say I'm successfully, you can be saying it to yourself, you can be writing it out, but then you don't do any of the activities, nothing's going to happen. So you have to do the right activities that correspond to being successfully employed, filling out job applications, writing that one-page introductory letter that you hand in with the application. Doing those little, it's the little things that make a big difference. But the same thing's true is if you're doing the right activities, but in your mind and your attitude, you're saying, oh, who's going to want to hire me? Nobody's hiring right now. If you tell yourself that, they cancel each other out. But when you put mm-hmm. those two things together and you have the right attitude and you have the right activity, and you stay in focus on what you want and what you desire, that's when you really begin to see things happen.
I also want to mention,
become magnetic.
I want to mention, if you find that there's a place that you would like to work and you have your eyes set on a particular strategy for climbing the ladder, remember that that may be exactly what needs to happen. Even some folks who may have had some quite prestigious situations and positions, you know, they say get in where you can fit in, and in some cases mm-hmm. that may be what you have to do. You may just have to do whatever you need to do to get your foot in the door. And, you know, people, again, see who you are, how you work, see your level of what had taken you where you were, and then you can find yourself getting to that place a lot faster than maybe you had even anticipated. So, you know, there's that get in where you can fit in strategy. I have done jobs that I absolutely hated because I needed the money. And mm-hmm. I had no, and some of them I had no desire to go anywhere else than where I was going and where I was at, because I was doing it because I needed the money. So there's that place too that you choose to do, and income lower than hourly wages, lower than I had been accustomed to. But, you know, rubber meets the road. If that would happen now, I would do the same thing, because that's what it would take to have some money to do the necessary things that need to happen until, again, you can get over the bridge. So the ego can be challenged. Mine has been, but, you know, you can't put your ego in the bank.
So that's right. That's right.
You have to do what you have to do to do. I've stuffed envelopes. I've filed. I've, you know, done stuff that, who's to say was beneath me. It certainly was what I had to do to have some money. So, you know, it's amazing when you bloom where you're planted. It's amazing what can happen, the relationships you create, the visibility, all of that. People you can often go back to, even though you didn't stay there because you knew why you were there and wasn't to grow there. You know, if you just keep your mind open to the opportunities, you just, again, like I said earlier and just said earlier, it's amazing what happens when you see things differently, you perceive differently, when you work at things differently. Everything becomes a something, an opportunity of some sort or another. But often we will close our minds to it, and at the same time we close those doors.
Yeah, the worst phrase you can say that you can hear come out of your mouth is, that's just the way I am. No, I mean, when you were born, you were a one-day-old baby that was open to growth. You know, and why is it that as we get older, that openness to growth gets smaller and smaller and smaller? What we really need to be doing is, you know, the people who are highly successful are open. They're looking at, all right, what can I learn from this? What can I get from this? How can I help this in my life? And asking yourself the questions rather than saying, no, I can't do that, or I won't do that. That's what you're saying, I won't do that. Instead of saying, what can I learn from this? How can this help me? Rephrasing the way you look at things. That's going to be probably one of the most powerful things that you can do right now. It's a creative time. What can I do with this? How can I personalize this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something else I want to suggest is you may know people, or there may be people in your own family who can afford to have you do some things for them. Call them and ask them if there's something you can help them with that they'd be willing to pay you some money to do. You know, a lot of people who are working at home could use some help a couple of hours a day with some of the things that they can't get to as quickly. It might be some filing. It might be, you know, some emails or whatever. I don't know. But I've done that before. And you'd be surprised at just reaching out to some people who it may need some help. And you know, ask him around. You know, if they may not be ready to hire you as a full-time employee, But there are a lot of circumstances where they can use your help a couple of hours a day or a few hours a week here and there. And again, it's your opportunity to showcase who you are, show up strong as a professional, and you know, if they can't hire you, people who are in those positions often have a lot of influence, and they can recommend you to someone else. And that's the kind of thinking, folks, that I want you to grasp. Everything isn't just right in front of you. Everything has some sprouts and some branches and all of that going on. And when you do things, you have the ability, the potential to become a part of something much bigger. But again, we sometimes forget, or we just haven't been accustomed to understanding what possibility really means in its real sense. So,
you know,
don't hesitate
in order
to pick
do
up
that,
the phone.
Yeah, in order to do that, you need to rethink your situation. You need to, instead of saying, well, hey, I'm currently unemployed, you can say, listen, I'm currently in search mode and looking for little opportunities and wondering if you might have something, you know, just a couple, as you said, set the tone, just a couple hours a week or a couple hours a day where I can help you. And then base it upon that list that you that Franklin T that you created earlier as to what you like to do and what you're really good at. You know, because there you're working from your strengths and there you're working from your talents and abilities. And what did I just write down? Oh, and, you know, when you're asking people, not everybody has a job opening. Not everybody knows has some work they can do. But, Silver, you have a dog, right?
Yeah, I do.
Silver?
Have a little old guy. Yeah, I do.
Yep.
He's about,
okay, well, dog people know other dog people. Cat people know other cat people. You know, so, and say, well, do you happen to know anybody? You know, I could use your help. And people are always willing to help. They'd love to help. Who do you know that might have something along this field of engineering that, or who do you know that might handle someone that needs some filing done? Or who do you know? Because people know lots of other people. Everybody knows at least 200 people when you break it down. Many, sometimes many, many more. But so just ask them. But you have to go beyond your ego, because they may say, no, I can't think of anybody. And then you say, well, how about, do you know anybody that would need help with some filing? Or do you know anybody that would need help with some carpentry? Or do you know of anybody that would need some help with plumbing? And what you're doing is you're helping to trigger their brain cells, because cat people know cat people and dog people know dog people and some dog people know cat people. But unless you ask them, you'll never know. So go beyond the ego and saying, well, and it starts by saying, well, yeah, but I'm unemployed. No, you're in job search. That changes. That just that alone changes your attitude, because you're out there searching for work.
Mm-hmm. Here's something else I want to mention, too, because the job search online can be so daunting. And this is something back in the day that was just the thing that people did, because we didn't have all this stuff at our fingertips. Carry your resume and your short cover letter into businesses where you'd like to work. Walk right up in, big and bold, into the personnel offices and say, I'd like to drop this off. That's how it was done very often back in the day. And don't press it, you know, just again, show up with a smile and just say, I'd like to, well, we're not hiring right now. Well, that's fine. Would you just mind keeping it on your active file that I'm
records,
looking?
I appreciate
it.
Yep, in your file.
Smile and leave. Don't let them give it back to you. You just smile and leave. If they toss it, that's on them, but it's not likely that's what they're going to do with it. But
and
I would always ask
for, and may I have the business card of your hiring manager,
mm-hmm.
or your HR
and
manager.
And you can follow up. Yeah, because you can follow
that way,
up. In
that
a
way you have
weeks.
The information to follow up with.
Mm-hmm. You can just follow up and say that you were there, dropped off your resume and your cover letter, and wondered if there was any interest. You know, searching for a job is a job in itself. And, you know, that must be understood. It's a job. It's not something you can, you know, shoot out an application every day and just think, okay, well, I did look for a job. I am looking. Well, you know, my thought and theory, at least minimally try to make five contacts a day. Minimally try to make five contacts. A phone call, an email, drop yourself off, go into a place you know it's hiring. Do something. Make at least five contacts a day. Probably should be up to about 15, maybe even more. But at least try to give yourself a goal of making five contacts of some sort. And again, if you're doing things on the phone, try to put your best voice and your best smile together. And again, you know, do some self-talk before you pick up the phone to call anybody, and so you're not sounding like you're feeling down and out. And again, it takes a little practice to hype your voice up to sound, and especially if they say, well, no, you know, I'm sorry, that opening is closed now, or, you know, you're all of a sudden you sound a certain kind of way because of that. You know, you got to get into the practice of not allowing those things that make you feel, again, like you're undeserving or things aren't going to work out for you. They will. They will. You know,
remember, you're a magnet.
And you know what they say, I don't know whose quote this was, but they were right about life is 90% of what happens, 10% of what happens, rather, and 90% of how we respond to it. And if we respond to everything in a more, some people can't get to optimism or positive, but at least to really fight feeling defeated. If you can just tell yourself to not feel defeated, you'll get to a place where you can feel more positive and optimistic. Because what happens, and some of you know, if you're paying attention, there's enough stuff happening each and every day in personal and professional life that is enough to knock your socks off, just make you feel like you're out of the game. But you just can't allow that to happen. You can't, no matter how many messages or actions or things that people do that can make you feel like that. You have to be within your own self strong enough. Again, and this is a time that you can develop that inner fortitude to say, no, I'm not going to let this defeat me. What you said, naysayer, that's okay. What you just brought me, negative message, I'm not dealing with that. What you just said,
you don't have to accept it.
Ma'am, about not having a job for me, thank you very much. And then you tell yourself, I'm going to keep looking. You got to do it.
And then add to your success log that you went into that company and you dropped that off. You know, a success log can be very powerful, you know, because we all have days that everything goes wrong. You know, no matter how well you planned it out, you know, there are days that just suck. Well, that's when you pull out your success log and you start reading it. And you say, well, yeah, look at wow. And oh, that's right. I did this and things are even worse than they are right now. You know, because you're the only one that can motivate yourself. You only control two things in life and two things only, what you think and what you do. And hopefully what you're thinking and what you're doing are at that same level of positiveness. You know, because it goes back to having the right attitude with the right activity. And that magic begins to happen. So, you know, pull out that success log, you know, before you go on the interview. You know, say, oh wow, look at, I've always done all these wonderful things. And you know what I have in my success log? I have things like I can ride a bicycle. I can juggle. I've written songs. I've written books. You know, it just starts from what did I get done today? And having things done on a day when things weren't great, and yet still I was able to add to my success log. That's controlling your attitude.
I think keeping a success log just by the title of that is a very good thing. And to make notes about those things, no matter how small they may be, to write that down as something that you accomplished. It's, again, people, I know I'm drumming it in you. the more you think down about yourself, the more you're going to just find yourself in a space and place that really is not fun or pretty. And you are so much more than that. You're so much more valuable than that. And whether you believe it or not, I don't care what the circumstance may be, there's a job out there for you. And you just have to be diligent, dedicated enough to keep up that search. It's the only way. Now, some jobs will find you. That can happen. I know about the realms of possibility. Some jobs will find you. But here's an opportunity for you to create a path. Go finding that job. Go searching for that job in a very diligent and dedicated way. Well, we're going to wrap up pretty soon, Jeff. I think we've shared a lot of things that I know that we both hope are helpful and hopeful for people who are, again, making that transition. It's been a pleasure having you here today. Is there anything that you would like to add before I share your information about your books?
Well, yes. Besides my books, there are three books that have had positive influence on my life. And reading something every day is adding to your positive attitude. So I like to recommend The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Richest Man in Babylon. The Richest Man in Babylon is a financial planning book. I sent it to someone once, and they sent it back, and I don't want any religious books. It's not a religious book. It's a financial planning book. But it's written in parable format, and that's by George Clason. So those books have had real powerful influence on my life, and I am forever grateful that I was introduced to those particular books. And you can read them over and over and over again, which is what I've read Think and Grow Rich 12 times now. And you get something new every time because you're a different person.
Yes, and it's amazing how even though you read it, you see something that jumps out at you that you knew you read it before, but it just kind of hits you in a whole different way. Well, again, sir, I want to thank you very much for being my special guest. I'm going to mention this, and if there's anything else you want people to know, you can say that too. But if you're interested in contacting Jeff, I have all that information on the show page for today. His email is jeff.percent, just like it sounds, at gmail.com. And he has several books. Those links are also on my page. His Job Search Survival Kit link is there. Combination for Success is there. And Creating Artful Sales is there as well. So please feel free to go. And I believe those are e-books too, aren't they, Jeff? They're downloadable.
They are, yes. Oh, and that's the reason I write them in that. It's much easier to access than having to wait for shipping a book out. You can have it immediately.
I also want to mention that, in fact, I met Jeff many, many years ago attending one of his seminars, and I don't remember exactly what you were talking about that particular day, but I do remember that that was initially when I met you and saw your skill sets, and we've also worked on some training projects together. So I want to also suggest that if you're interested in having someone with workplace skills that can come in and talk to you about overcoming some of the stresses there, issues and problems that could arise, Jeff is also expert at that as well. So email him and let him know what you may be interested in learning from him. Sir, again, thank you so much for spending this much time with me today. It's been a real pleasure. And as I said, I know this information had to land on the hearts of many people who are feeling the stress and pressure of being in this uncertain time. Appreciate you so much.
Indeed. Well, Silver, I'm honored that you invited me to be on your show again. So thank you. And it's always wonderful talking with you.
Okay. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day. I'll be talking with you again soon. Thank you.
Take care.
And I want
to
thank all of you. I want to thank all of you as well for hanging in there and tuning in. And, again, I'm trusting that what we brought you today, there were some good takeaways for you. I know, again, what a stressful time it is when you just don't know how to make ends meet or how to get from here to there. Well, I hope that your there looks a little bit closer after today's conversation. I hope that you'll also tune in. I'll be back next week with Master Your Mindset. Cassandra and I are going to be talking about some aging being your next chapter. So something like that. We'll figure out a title for it next week. But we'll be talking about that whole art of aging. She and I have had a couple of conversations about it recently, and I suggested her, let's talk about that. So we are going to. So I hope you'll tune in. It'll be 12:30 on Monday next week. So in the meantime, take care of yourself. Be good, be blessed, be awesome, and stay safe.